Hello, it's Wednesday, June 10th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. A major escalation over the past 24 hours. Iran has attacked Kuwait, Bahrain and Jordan after the US struck Iranian targets in retaliation for the downing of an Apache helicopter in the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump says there's no reason for any of this to derail a deal with Tehran. I'll be discussing that with Israel's former national security advisor and senior fellow at the FDD, Eyal Hulata. You'll hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. The United States says no damage or injuries were reported following Iranian attacks on military facilities in Bahrain, Jordan and Kuwait. Iran fired on its neighbors in retaliation for U.S. strikes, which themselves came in response to Iran's downing of an Apache helicopter in the Strait of Hormuz. It's the most serious escalation since a ceasefire came into force in April. President Trump told ABC that he still believes the U.S. and Iran can reach a very good deal. Iran's foreign minister responded by warning Washington to, quote, leave our region if you want to be safe. Concerns are growing that Iran has activated its proxies in Yemen. A UK-flagged cargo ship has reported an exchange of fire with a small boat carrying armed assailants in the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. After staying out of the war for months, the Houthis have in recent days announced a complete ban on Israeli-linked maritime traffic in the Red Sea. Meanwhile, Yemeni media is reporting heavy clashes between Houthi fighters and government forces in the western province of Hodeidah. The IDF has issued evacuation orders for three villages in southern Lebanon. The military says it is compelled to act against Hezbollah as the group continues to violate a US-brokered ceasefire. The IDF says that in the last 24 hours, it's killed terrorists planning attacks on Israeli troops and destroyed six Hezbollah hubs in the city of Tyre. Israeli forces have killed two senior Hamas money men in northern Gaza. The IDF says it's part of an ongoing effort to dismantle the terror group's financial infrastructure. Khader Jamassi and his deputy, Mohammed Harazin, were responsible for channeling tens of millions of dollars to pay operatives and support attacks against Israeli soldiers and civilians. It comes as indirect talks continue in Cairo on advancing President Trump's Gaza peace plan. Former hostage Rom Breslavsky has met President Trump at the White House in a powerful symbol of his recovery after more than 2 years in Hamas captivity. Breslavsky was kidnapped while working security at the Nova Music Festival on October 7th. He was freed in October 2025 after 738 days in Gaza. Since his release, he has spoken publicly about the torture and sexual abuse he endured while being held hostage. Breslavsky thanked Trump for helping secure his freedom, calling him my hero. He was unable to join an earlier delegation of former hostages because of severe PTSD. And despite the regional instability, ties between Israel and the United Arab Emirates remain strong. More than 30 Israeli religious and civil society leaders have travelled to Abu Dhabi as part of the largest interfaith delegation ever to visit the Gulf state. They met with Emirati officials, religious leaders and educators in a bid to promote tolerance, coexistence and regional cooperation. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Israel's former national security advisor, Eyal Hulata. President Trump says the escalation over the past 24 hours doesn't mean that a deal with Tehran cannot be made. What are your thoughts on that?
First, I think it means what we all know and understand, that President Trump is indeed prioritizing a negotiated agreement with the Iranians at this point, and that his belief, his and his surrounding, that the military campaign has got us thus far, and from here he wants a negotiated agreement. And he's very consistent in this. I mean, there are no surprises. Even this episode of 24-hour of the rounding with us and the American response after the downing of the Apache helicopter over the Straits of Hormuz, everyone seems to suggest that the Americans are playing it down. He is waving a stick all the time, to his credit. And the Iranians, I think, are aware of this. Will this be enough to get a deal? That's a different story. What we all also, I think, know quite well is that the Iranians are not eager to go into a full-fledged war. Not with the Americans, not with us. And if this is the case, then I think it is reasonable to believe that given time constraints, there will be an agreement.
Were you surprised when Iran did respond to those American strikes, that they attacked their Gulf neighbors, that they didn't attack Israel? Does that suggest perhaps that Israel has restored deterrence?
Well, I think the Iranians are trying to create different equations across the region, and they've done so from the beginning of this 40-day war. There is a bilateral conflict with Israel, and it is connected to the proxies, the Lebanese, Hezbollah, and Gaza. This has been the case from the beginning of this conflict in different levels of intensity. And the Gulf countries are, by the Iranians, they're all put in the side of the Americans, the Kuwaitis, and the Qataris, not just the Emiratis and the Saudis. I think the Iranians are trying to keep this two separate dialogues different so that they have some ability to have escalation dominance. I have to say that it does seem to work for them.
There are reports that President Trump not only prevented Israel from striking Beirut when it goes after Hezbollah, but also prevented it from a much more robust response on Iran. Are you concerned that the US is holding Israel back from fully defending itself?
So there are a few things that concern me in this regard. You started with the rhetoric. The rhetoric concerns me because the rhetoric creates an atmosphere, both in Washington, but also in the region, that even if, and I believe it is, that the level of coordination between Israel and the United States, between IDF and CENTCOM, and even between Jerusalem and Washington, the White House, Netanyahu and Trump is at a relatively high level. If the rhetoric suggests otherwise, this is what all our haters see. And the fact that the president and his surrounding are not worried to use such rhetoric means that they're also either close or over some kind of tipping point with their ability to support narrative-wise Israel's needs and concerns. That worries me a lot, because this will last, I think, for a long period of time. The second thing that worries me, and it does have to do with security, is Israel's priorities. Because, you know, I can, perhaps we can all kind of understand in this balance of power, if the Americans have a strong set of priorities, that Israel needs at least to be cognizant of those priorities, and it cannot do things that would undermine the American interests so bluntly. What I'm worried is that there is an option that when things happen in contradiction to Israeli priorities, let's say that the Iranians decide to make a move on their nuclear program, send bulldozers to start taking the rubble out of the tunnels where the enriched uranium is stored, or install centrifuges in a new facility, then what? In such a case, it needs to be clear that this is the number one priority for Israel, and we have to respond. Not only do we have to respond, we would want to respond in sync with the Americans, because this should be a violation of the top priority of both Israel and the United States. And what worries me about the precedent that we've been seeing over the last few days, that this might suggest, God forbid, that President Trump might, in those circumstances, have a different set of priorities because of the point in time that this happens or other considerations. That worries me a lot. And I feel that because Israel doesn't have its priorities straight, and it's clearly that at this point, the decision made by the Israeli cabinet and the prime minister have a different priority than what I just said. They're not saving this match, so to speak, to be used when the really good and important reasons come along. It's as if we're wasting some of our chips while we're rolling the dice on things that I believe, important as they are not of the utmost importance, and we know that we're in a constrained situation. So these two aspects worry me. What that means in Israel's reputation and image to the future, and also what that might mean if, God forbid, something happens that we must operate. We will operate, it is clear, regardless of who is prime minister at that point. Israel will respond, because Israel is committed never to allow Iran to have weapons of mass destruction and nuclear weapon. But the fact that this might come in a contradiction with Washington, that's not good. I don't want to grade a prime minister of Israel. This is a serious job, and Prime Minister Netanyahu is so experienced that the fact that he can maneuver between those cones, it doesn't come as a surprise to any of us. What worries me is not the hooking to Trump. What worries me is the hooking to the Israeli politics. What worries me is the reasons the priorities are not straight is not because Netanyahu doesn't understand the priorities. It's because he has other consideration at the moment, and that elections are coming, and that the coalition is filled with people who have different set of priorities for various reasons. And I don't recall time where this so bluntly interfered with Israeli national security considerations and priorities, and I'll leave it at that.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching, and please subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.